Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Relationship versus Destination. Some of my earliest memories are of sitting in church services where altar calls were given, focusing on not going to hell, but rather instead going to heaven. My question for you is this: isn't Christianity more than just about going to heaven? Isn't Christianity supposed to be about having a personal relationship with Jesus right here and now on this earth? If that's the case, then shouldn't we be more fellowship-minded instead of so much destination-minded? This is about relationship, not just about destination. I hope that you enjoy this message.
So I'd like to begin, first of all, with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the teacher. We welcome you, Holy Ghost. We ask you to teach us this evening. We believe that you're going to bring illumination into our hearts, enabling us to understand the mysteries in the Word of God. Thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have made available for us. I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I believe that when we conclude this evening, that we will be changed by your word. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I was finishing our monthly teaching letter, and things had been coming to me in connection with what I've been teaching here recently. And as I was putting the things that were coming to me on the paper, sometimes it takes sitting down and writing and before you're able to put words to what you're receiving from the Lord. And well, I tell you what, this morning as I put these words down, I began to see something. I began to recognize a mentality that I think has been propagated by a lot of denominations, a lot of churches. And I think that it's really detrimental to us, and so what I want to do, I want to read what I wrote this morning, and I think that in doing so, I think that it'll help you to understand what I'm trying to say. So I'm only going to read portions of the first page of the teaching letter. It's not necessary to have to read all of it. If you want to read the teaching letter or receive it, you can just go onto our website, markjenkinsministries.org, and sign up for it. We also have all of them there that you can read. But let me begin here. Weddings, this is called not a destination wedding. Weddings are joyous celebrations where a man and woman are joined in holy matrimony, two becoming one. The idea of two becoming one is unique to a covenant. It's not something to be taken lightly or entered into haphazardly, because the intent of a covenant agreement is that it's never to be broken. Consequently, when one of the two parties is not fully invested or has some ulterior motives for joining in a covenant relationship, it fails. With that thought in mind, picture this. A beautiful, blushing bride poised on a sandy beach of an exotic island in a long flowing dress that she has dreamed about for years. She's about to exchange vows with the man of her dreams, a handsome, wealthy heir of a multi-million-dollar empire. Everything is just as she has planned. All the hours of preparation have brought them to this moment, and everything is perfect, or so it seems. The ceremony comes off without a hitch, and the two are gloriously wed. The next morning, she wakes up only to discover that now she is married to a man that she doesn't really know very well. For the first time, she realizes, and I want you to get a hold of this, that the beautiful wedding ceremony was not the ultimate objective. The ultimate objective was the joining of herself to the groom in an everlasting covenant. You see what I'm saying there? Yeah. Here's a person that had spent all this time, probably a year or more, planning this elaborate wedding. And all that she was doing was planning this event, this ceremony. But what she hadn't done is realize that it's not just about that event. It's about this relationship that has been created in a covenant ceremony. And now you have joined yourself to this man in this covenant relationship. And if you've spent all of your time just fantasizing about, you know, beautiful ceremonies on sandy beaches, and you didn't take the time to get to know the individual that you were joining in covenant with, well, the next morning, you're going to wake up and you're going to look at this person and realize, I never really got to know you very well. And my point is, we as a society of believers, we have taught through our through our actions, we've taught people how to be focused on heaven. And how did we do that? How many church services have you ever sat through where they've talked about how hot hell is going to be? If you're not saved, you're going to hell. But you don't have to go there. All you have to do is accept Jesus, and then what will happen? You'll go to heaven. And all of the attention is on you going to heaven. You missing hell, missing that fiery grave, and going to heaven for eternity. And they said to be with Jesus, but the focus, at least in the services that I attended, the focus was on you as an individual missing hell and going to heaven. So, for the most part, it was a very selfish reason for why you're going to heaven. Because I didn't want to go to hell. It really, for me, I, as a child sitting through those kind of services, I just can remember those thoughts. Boy, I don't want to go to hell. And so what do? Well, if I've done anything wrong, well, I want to repent because I don't want to go to hell. It's almost like we're climbing this ladder and we're going to get to the top and discover that it's on the wrong building. And what do I mean by that? We've put all of our attention on the destination, heaven. But we have failed to realize that it's about knowing Jesus, getting to know him. And I have to admit, even for myself, there are times that I still struggle with this, and you think, how could that be? I start finding myself just going through the motions of what I believe a Christian should do. And see, when you do that, you're missing out on the fact that this is a relationship with Jesus. This is having fellowship with Him. It has nothing at all to do about trying to satisfy some spiritual requirements. No, it's about getting to know this person who gave His life for you. Developing a one-on-one relationship with Him. I was in line with what I'm saying here. A thought came to me earlier that, if you just, you could even be talking to a bunch of Christians, and if you said, God told me to do this or that, now, how many of them would look at you like you just grew a third eyeball, and they kind of start backing away from you? And why is that? Why should we think that it is so foreign to hear from God and for God to direct us? I mean, first of all, let's take into account that this is God that we're talking about. The one who is limitless in His abilities. And we doubt that He has the ability to get His information over to us. The only thing that would in any way block that is us choosing not to listen, or just simply not giving Him the opportunity to communicate with us. He's more than able. He can drop a thought in your head, and it can take you 3 weeks to completely understand. But so I don't want to get too far away from this. Let's get back to this letter once again. I believe that millions of people, and this is really the paragraph that I wanted to focus on. I believe that millions of people have done this when they join themselves to Jesus Christ by making Him Lord of their life. For many, they were told of the prospects of dying and going to hell for eternity, and that by accepting the Lordship of Jesus, they would instead go to heaven when they die. Get a hold of this part right here. For the rest of their life, they struggle to live a life that they believe to be the kind of life a Christian would live, in hopes that they won't do anything to miss heaven. Oh my goodness. I'll tell you what, that right there, when I put those words down, I identified with them as a kid growing up. It wasn't that I knew Jesus personally and communed with Him and had a relationship with Him. No, it was that I had been indoctrinated with a religious idea of Christianity, that you have to go perform a certain way, live a certain way, look a certain way, and then when your days here are done, if you have managed to live a good life and you haven't messed up too badly, you'll go to be with Jesus. I'm telling you, that is so far from what God had in mind when He sent Jesus to die on that cross. It isn't about me trying to live a certain way and appease God so that I can go to heaven. It's not that at all. And please don't think that I'm saying go out and live however you want to. That's obviously not right either. But this idea that, I'm going to come to Jesus so that I don't go to hell, so that I do go to heaven, and then I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing what I suppose a Christian should do. I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to drop some money in the offering. I'll listen to the message. I'll be a good person this week. And then I'll come back to church next week. Hopefully, when I get to the end of my life, you know, as long as I've got enough of the boxes checked, I'll go to heaven. And that's what I want. I want to go to heaven. Why is it that we don't want to know Jesus now? You see my point? Why is it that we don't want to spend time getting to know Him right here, right now? And you might even come, you know, you'll find people that will say, but how can you know Him? That's the whole point. When we were born again, we received a new nature. He came to live on the inside of us. We have everything necessary to communicate with Him, to talk to Him. And here we are running around thinking about heaven. Boy, I can't wait till I die, I get to go to heaven. And all the while, we're missing the whole point of being joining ourselves in covenant to Jesus, who has redeemed us and delivered us, and in Him we're born again. And now I can live my life on this earth and be in fellowship with Him right now, today, no different than when I'm in heaven after I leave this earth. I had this thought, how many people are going to step out of their body when they die into heaven, look at Jesus face to face, and realize that they never got to know Him when they were on the earth? They may have prayed a prayer, and with all sincerity, I'm not trying to suppose that they weren't sincere, with all sincerity gave their life to Him, but no one ever told them, taught them about what it meant to get to know our Lord and Savior intimately, personally, where you commune with Him and He communes with you. Well, that's a lot different mentality than, boy, I just can't wait to go to heaven when I die. It's a whole lot different mentality to recognize that, oh, Jesus, I can know You right now, Jesus. That's what this is really about. It's not just about the fact that I escape hell and go to heaven when I die. It's about knowing You right now, Jesus. Wow! What a revelation! I can know You right now. We can talk. You can hear me. I can hear You. We can walk through life together. Oh my goodness. Mark, do you mean this is not just about going to heaven? Yes, that's what I mean. Thank God we get, and it's the new heaven and the new earth. But thank God that while we're here right now, we can take the opportunity to get to know Him. Boy, that's awesome. That's awesome. I hope you get a hold of that. And I hope I get a hold of this in a deeper way. Let me show you just some of the verses that they were coming to me today. And I think hopefully these will help better explain, you know, maybe what I'm saying. Let's look first at John 17. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed just before going to the cross. I know a lot of you are probably familiar with this prayer. Jesus says some things as He prays to the Father here that, well, some of these are just really hard to, you know, to grab hold of. And let's start reading here. We're just going to pick it up in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now look at these words. This verse 3 is the one that I was wanting to really focus on. And this is life eternal. This is life eternal. What he's about to say is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. Not just going to heaven when you die. This, right here, is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Isn't that powerful? That's life eternal. Knowing him. How many church services have you sat through where the invitation was given and it wasn't focused on going to heaven and missing hell? The invitation was this: come to Jesus so that you can know him. Boy, that's something right there. So that you can know him in an intimate way, deep, not just superficial knowing about him. See, that's what I think has happened. We've become content to know about Jesus. You know, you can know about somebody. You can know about the President of the United States. You can know about his habits. You can know, all you got to do is read his Twitter account. You can know a lot about him. But that does not mean that you know him intimately. No. Big difference. And I have an idea that there's a lot of Christians that know about Jesus, know about what he did for them on the cross, know about how he suffered and died, know about how he walked this earth for 3.5 years, and they know about how Jesus healed the sick and how Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. And they know about all of the miracles that he did. And they can even, you know, a lot of times quote. You know, there are colleges today that you can go and you can take Bible classes where they intellectualize the Bible as a piece of literature. And that person might know all about, I mean, they can tell you all about all the scriptures dealing with Jesus, and they could be an atheist. So it's not about knowing about Jesus. It's knowing him, surrendering to him, being changed on the inside. That's what being a Christian is all about. So let me look at this verse one more time. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So that's life eternal. It's, you know, I think we've been sold a bill of goods by scaring people out of going to hell. And, you know, we almost present it like, you know, the flames of hell being hot, and they are. I mean, I'm sure that eternity in hell is going to be horrible, and you don't want to go there. And that heaven is, and the new heaven and the new earth is going to be an awesome place, an indescribable place. But the focus, if we keep it there, we miss life eternal. I mean, we miss what life eternal is to be about. It's to be about knowing our Heavenly Father, knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in an intimate way, where we commune with one another, where the way He thinks, the things that are important to Him, we know those things. Just like, for example, my own wife. In our relationship, you know, I have to have some idea after all these years what things she likes, what things she doesn't like. And it may just be very little of an idea, but I have some idea. Give you an example. I was at the store last night, and I know that she likes cherry cordials, and I saw them, and I bought them for her. Because I know she likes those things. Now, it's because of the time I spent with her that I know that. And it's the same way with Jesus. You know, knowing the things that He likes and knowing the things that He doesn't like, it shouldn't be a mystery to us. You know, we should know these things because we spent time with Him and He's been able to reveal them to us. But again, if we're only living with this mentality of escaping hell and being rescued to heaven, and that's Christianity, we're not going to take the time to really get to know our Lord and Savior here and now, as we're content to, you know, go through the spiritual motions. And believe me, I know that there are a lot of Christians, a lot of people going through the spiritual motions, thinking that they're appeasing God for another week. And boy, I tell you what, it's sad, because I think that too many times the churches are promoting that idea, and the end result is that we're being robbed out of having a communion with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus right here and now. We're being robbed of that because we're being told that, you know, it's just about coming to church and paying your tithes and being a good person. Just be a good person. Boy, I didn't get me riled up thinking about that. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 3. Again, these are just a few verses that were coming to me. And they're just verses that really help to solidify what really took place in us. That we didn't just buy a fire insurance policy against hell when we made Jesus Lord of our life. You know, and we just can't allow those kind of thoughts to stay in our mind. So here we are, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, look at this. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's good stuff. The manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That is so much more than what I was raised and taught in church. I hate to say it, but it just that verse right there. Being a son of the living God. That we need to get this inside of us. This is who we are. When we made Jesus the Lord of our life, we are now called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I remember whenever the Lord started revealing this to me about the fact that we're sons of God. And it was challenging at first to grab hold of that idea, to you know, see myself as the son of God, a son of God that I truly am, and not just someone going to heaven, not just a person that's made Jesus Lord, not just someone whose sins have been forgiven and who's going to heaven, but has no connection to Jesus right here and now. We have to see that we have a connection with God as sons of the living God. We have to recognize that we didn't just buy a life insurance policy to keep us out of hell, and that we, you know, at this moment where we stand, we don't have much of a connection with him. We're here on earth, he's in heaven. No, we are connected to him because Jesus has come to live on the inside of us, and we have been reborn into God's family as his children. We are connected. We are sons of the living God. And it's that connection that enables us now to fellowship with him, to know that you know him. That's one of the verses here in 1 John that I taught on a week or so ago. It's in the second chapter here in the third verse. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The reason that we keep his commandments is because that we have entered into his crucifixion, his death on that cross, that we have died the death of the cross in him, that we are different people now, that we have been reborn with a new nature, and that new nature enables us to walk free of sin. We can know that we know him because we have the ability on the inside of us to walk free of sin. See, that before a person gets born again, they don't have that ability. They're spiritually dead on the inside. We're born again, children of God. We can know that we do know him. You know, if and I've heard some people that have, you know, I don't know how they can do it, to be saved for years and years and years, and they can still question whether or not they're going to heaven. Well, I do know how that happens. It's because they don't take time to know the person that they're in covenant with. They don't take the time to fellowship with him, to talk with him, to fellowship with him in his word. And as a result, they have this nagging doubt. How miserable. When all the while they have God's word at their disposal right here, all they have to do is read it. They have a new nature. They have the ability to hear his voice. You know, that's what Jesus taught us, that my sheep know my voice. And what it takes is a level of confidence in his word and just believing that what he said here in his word, he meant. And taking God at his word. You can know that you know him. There doesn't have to be any doubt There shouldn't be any doubt. There shouldn't be any question. I know that at times when you're developing a relationship, you're developing your fellowship with the Lord. I know there's times that you might wonder if, well, was that really God's voice? Was that really God trying to get that information over to me? Was that really Him? And I found that more times than not that it is Him. I believe that He's trying to talk to us. He's trying to communicate with us far more than we're giving Him the opportunity to do so. Far more. I think that we still kind of see ourselves like this, and we think in God's eyes that we're probably about like this, when reality is He sent His only Son to the cross to die for each and every one of us individually. That's the value that we hold in our Father's eyes. I mean, there's in His eyes, we are priceless. We are worth the blood of Jesus. I know that that's a big statement. I know that that's hard to wrap your mind around, but it's still the truth. That's the value that we hold in our Father's eyes, and we've got to see ourselves that way. We have to recognize that God does love us, that He has given Jesus for us to, and not just given Him, but He suffered horrible pain so that we could be reborn into His family, and that we could identify as children of the living God. Praise God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Another verse that I wrote down here is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sure everyone's very familiar with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, what does that mean to be in Christ? It means you have identified yourself in Him as your representative of the covenant. That as He hung on that cross, He stretched His arms out, that He was there in your place. That you can look at that cross and look at Him hanging there and see yourself in Him and say, I see that You died in my place, Jesus. I am in You. You are in me. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he is. He is. Not. It doesn't say that he's going to be somewhere off in the sweet by and by. It says that he is right now, this moment, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Praise God. You're not the same person that you used to be. You're not that man. That man, that woman, died the death of the cross in Jesus. You have been reborn, a new creation being, one that never existed before. And not only that, but you have been reborn into God's family. You're not part of the family of the first Adam anymore. And you look around, You walk the streets. Anybody that has not made Jesus the Lord of their life is still identifying with that first Adam. And we're not identifying with them. We're an entirely different race of being. They're still of the race of the first Adam. And because we've made Jesus Lord of our life, we are now a member of the race of the second man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Completely different creation than what exists on this earth. Those that still identify with the first Adam. Completely different. We should, our lives should look so different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world, they're concerned about everything. They're concerned about, you know, all of the different various health issues. Do they have this? Do I have that? Do I, you know, am I high blood pressure, diabetic, all of these things. And they're subject to all of that. And reborn, a new creation being, the enemy may try to put it on you, but I'm telling you, and I'd say this to myself, you're redeemed from that. It has no right on your body. As far as heaven is concerned, everything has been done for you to walk free of it. And if you're not, it's not heaven's fault. And if you're running around begging God to try to get something off of you, He's already done it in Jesus. And it's our obligation to run the devil off of out of our bodies. And if we're begging Him to do it, we're wasting our breath. And that's just the way it is. If any man be in Christ, I am in Christ. I am a new creation, a new creature, a new species of being. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, I'm not to identify with that person anymore. I'm not to go down those memory trails with the devil where he tries to lure me into thinking about all of the corrupt things I did before I came to Jesus. That person's dead. That person died the death of the cross in Jesus. I have no business wasting any of my mental energy going down the memory trail with the devil, thinking about horrible things that I used to do. That person is dead. Now I'm a new creation. I am a son of the living God. And I never existed before the moment that I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I know it sounds too hard or too good to be true, and it is true. It is really good, though. And it's just our responsibility to believe it. To believe it. Simply believe the truth. All right, let's go over to Galatians, book of Galatians, second chapter. Again, these were just some verses that the Lord was bringing up on the inside of me as I was thinking about what I had written this morning, thinking about how, you know, we've just, as Christians, we've just focused on the wrong thing. We've focused on the destination instead of realizing that, hey, we can enjoy being married to the Lord right now. And I'm just saying married because in a covenant relationship with Him. And that covenant relationship has simply produced our sonship, is what has happened. When we identified with him as our covenant representative, it did something inside of us. It caused the new birth to take place so that we became children of the living God. And now we should be enjoying, not waiting till we get in the sweet by and by, but in the sweet here and now, we should be enjoying our fellowship time with Jesus. With Jesus. So here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we're looking at the idea of that old man being gone. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified. That old man is dead. Glory to God, and he needed killing. Oh my goodness, horrible, horrible guy. Nevertheless, I live. What a, that right there, just wrap your mind around that. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And look what these words, who loved me. Jesus, he loves us. He loves us. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us when all of humanity was lost in sin. He loved us. Boy, that's just hard to wrap your mind around, that we could be worth Jesus loving, and yet he did enough that he was willing to leave heaven to become a man on this earth, one of his own creation. That's just hard to fathom that he would be willing to do that. The one that created everything in order to rescue us became one of us to redeem us. And he did it not for any other reason, not for any other reason but one, because he loves us. Because he loves us. Hallelujah. Because he loves us. You know, when you're thinking about how maybe something in your life you wish was different, or maybe you've done something and you're not real proud of the fact that you did it, and you're kind of thinking that God must not think very much of me right now. Oh my goodness. He sees you in Jesus. He is so in love with you. Obviously, the mistakes that we made, they're things that we just simply need to repent for, but don't allow them to keep you away from him, because that's not in his heart at all. He wants us to run to him, not from him. When the enemy is successful in getting something over on us, don't be embarrassed before your Father. Run to him. Run to Jesus. He is our faithful high priest. He knows the feeling, our infirmities, our weaknesses. He knows what we are enduring on this earth. He knows, because he was here and endured the same things that we're enduring. And that's what makes him a faithful high priest for us. because he can identify with our weaknesses. He can identify with what the enemy is doing to us. Well, I tell you, I thank God. What a genius thought that Jesus, in coming here and enduring the things that he did, could be our high priest, could intercede on our behalf before the Father, because he knows what we're having to deal with here. Thank God. And, you know, Jesus is not looking down, shaking his head, thinking, boy, I tell you what, I wish that mark would just straighten up. Oh, my goodness. Here, I died on the cross for him, and look at what he's done now. You know, he's just, I'm not sure that he was worth it. Those are never thoughts in his mind. Never. It's only the thoughts in our mind planted by the enemy, and if we entertain him, then he's got us. You know, he's trapped us again. But those are not thoughts in your Father's mind. Your Father loves you. He loves you. He's your Father. Hallelujah. So let me read this verse once again. 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. He loves me. And he gave himself for me. Glory to God. God gave himself for me. Well, when you get in those times of the mully grubs where, you know, maybe you've listened to the devil, you know, and he's convinced you of lies, and you feel about an inch tall, because you've done some sins of the flesh, you've given in to some carnal desires or whatever the case. Realize that Jesus loves you. He loves you. Even if you don't feel like it, feelings have nothing to do with it. Just open your Bible. Open it to John 3:16. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is life eternal? Knowing him. Knowing him. Well, I don't think I can stress that enough. What is life eternal? Knowing Jesus. Knowing our Father. Knowing him. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that message has blessed you tonight. I hope that it's maybe causing you to pause and take a second look at some of the thoughts that are going on in your mind on a daily basis. You know, and realize, you know, you're not trying to just appease God with your life. You're not trying to, you know, satisfy some religious weekly requirements. And then hopefully at the end of your life, you've accumulated enough points. You know, it's not like the point system. Well, did I qualify to go to heaven? Have I got enough points? You know, I'm on the frequent flyer program. I mean, that's just so far from the truth. But all of that is just action-based thinking. It's thinking that I can do something to, you know, get myself to heaven. You know, he did it all. Jesus did it all. We are simply walking in the results of what he did for us. That's all it is. He did it all. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to pray for you tonight, and I'm going to believe God that any wrong thinking that you might have going on inside of you, that the Holy Ghost is going to shine his light on it, help you to see it, help you to recognize that's just stinking thinking. That's not from the mind of Christ. It's just religious ideas. Heavenly Father, how easy it is to adopt thinking that it's not from your mind, it's just religion. It's religious ideas, a lot of which we've grown up around. We've heard them all of our life. God, help us to recognize, to see those religious ideas, recognize them for what they are, that they're not from your mind. It's not from you. It's just religion. It's the devil is what it is. Help us to, by your Holy Spirit, shine a light on those things, on those thoughts, those thought patterns. Help us to recognize that's not you. You don't think that way. You don't feel that way about us. And pray that we will get rid of those religious ideas and that we will be focused on developing a daily walk with you. We won't be just destination minded, but we will live each day getting to know you better. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.